Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Anking Frequency, episode number 175 to be precise. How are you, Larry King?
I am quite well, my friend. I'm enjoying my nice virgin screwdriver.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. That's just plain orange.
Okay. It's just plain orange juice. What's in a screwdriver otherwise?
Well, that's vodka and orange juice and everything with a screwdriver. Okay. So it's, I knew this because there was a person I knew of. I wouldn't say friends. Like I didn't know this person long enough. I just knew like 10 a.m. making screwdrivers and smoking Pall Malls at 10 a.m. Like, yeah, that's a healthy diet. That's a healthy person right there.
That's some old school class right there.
I don't even think in the 60s you could get away with that. You know, you'd have like some standards, like, you know, at least back then, it's like, at least be a wino, be in the gutter. You know, you expect that, but
I don't know. Yeah. There'll always be a place for alcoholism, Mr. Larry King. Hey, 175, huh? I say that at the start of the show, the number, so it's easy to tell when we screwed up like we did a couple of weeks ago with our music mix.
We don't make no screw-ups. We're always perfect every single time.
I got to apologize about that cursed, hexed,
that was
evil
a cursed
thing.
Episode.
Oh, yeah. It started off with what? A message from you saying, hey, mate, this is episode 153, not 173 you've aired. Which is why we put the number at the start. And then I quote-unquote fixed it with a version that I hadn't turned warp off the tracks. So the tracks were all warping using my music software to a meter that wasn't easily detected. And to be honest, the pitch detection was off too, so it was just this weird in and out beat rhythm. Anyway, long story short, it sounded like the devil had a mild aphasia. So probably 48 hours into the whole stint, I got a proper working version up there, but not after I bet some of you listened to the mix. The wrong mix. It was inaccessible for the longest time, and then, yeah, it's done. It's in the past. It's two episodes ago now. Last week was about recovery and proving to myself that I hadn't suddenly lost everything in some weird kind of night accident. But we did have some feedback about episode 173. I did want to just get out of the way quickly. It is from a long-time listener, Travis, who says, "Sorry, dudes, had to shut it down during the third song in. Haha. Worst episode since the Sean Connery cartoon movie one." So he didn't say which version he heard, whether he heard my demonic rendition or the better one. But you know what third song in was, Larry.
Was it Katy Perry or Katy Perry?
No. Third song in was Sting's Desert Rose.
Oh, Desert Rose. Well, you didn't get far enough because Katy Perry or Katy, whatever, it doesn't matter. Big boobs McGillicuddy over there.
Hey, you call it by a stage name, Larry.
Miss Talent. I know the fireworks song, which actually I do like, but it's one of those. When I said this is stuff I would not want to be caught dead listening to, I'm like, I could be in a horrible car accident. It could be like Wash in the Serenity movie where I'm impaled. And if the last thing I'll do, instead of like calling someone to tell them I love them, or just, that music's playing, I'm just going to lean over. Turn it down and then break the CD, throw it out, like, yeah, and then coughing up blood, and just throwing it out the window. They piece it back together and they listen to it. It's like, oh, this was an accident. This was a suicide. He's
listening to this. Good Lord, Miss Perry took another one. That's it, boys. Stop, damn it. That's five. It's a mass killing. Take her down. She's Bin Laden. She's Bin Laden. No.
This is no car accident. This is a Katy Perry attack. No. The Katy Perry. Her eyes roll over. Look at black eyes. Lifeless eyes. Like
her
a doll.
Breast size just increases one more.
She's just like swimming at you. She's just swimming at you, but doing a bag stroke. So everything's just going whoa, whoa, like that. Pull up, damn you. Roy Scheider up on a tilting boat. The revived Roy Scheider.
Now I want to see Katy Perry 3 where she attacks the aquarium.
In 3D, it's like instead of coming at you head on, it's coming at your breasts on, and it's
pizza
like
movement.
And like Louis Gossett Jr. is like the mother. God, we have to get Randy Quaid instead of Dennis.
Yeah, we can't afford Dennis, so you get Randy.
We get Randy Quaid instead of Dennis Quaid, and instead of getting Manimal, we have to get Nightman because Manimal was in the movie. He was the
man, I tell you what, if we were doing a film version of Guilty Pleasures, Jaws 3D would be up there for me.
But don't make it any crisper. Leave that really half-assed 3D. Like it was supposed to be 3D the entire time, but they still leave the 3D effects in there. So it's like this floating arm, which looks so dumb. It's God Almighty, it's so horrible.
But yeah, good times. Anyway, sorry, Travis. I don't know what version you listened to, whether it was the Enchanted mix or the proper version that's now up there. But I got to admit, the first time I listened to it, I was a bit thrown by Desert Rose as well. I'm like, really, Larry? Really? I can get Katy Perry on some weird kind of level, but yeah, it started off with that kind of Arabic singing style and pop ballady, and I'm like, Larry,
I need music. You surprised me. I need music that makes me think I'm gonna get my head sawed off while I'm in an orange jumpsuit and there's a flag behind me.
Well, Mr. Infidel, I don't think it matters what you're listening to. When they come, they come.
I'm ready, my friend.
I guess we should approach something remotely resembling a topic, and I have the loosest of topics prepared for you today, Larry.
It
pretty much steps all over the toes of everything we've discussed before in the past 174 episodes of the Ant King Frequency. Larry, there was a time in a world. No, there was a time. Probably from around the year 2002 onwards. In fact, you know what? Let's say the very end of the 90s, 1999 onwards, where, and I use that specific date for a reason, but from 1999 onwards, television evolved. Cinema slowly lost its grip over the eyes and hearts of viewers, and television suddenly became more than this sort of fly-by-night affair of, you know, reality TV hadn't fully taken over. We'd dabbled with the talent shows and Big Brother around that time. But this is where, holy crud, everyone started to realize you could tell a really good story, either in little done-in ones or over an arc, and that arc may not only span a season, it could span a whole series of a show. So why I mention 1999, of course, is what series started 1999?
Are you going to say The Sopranos?
I am, because I think I would say that The Sopranos are or represent really the dawn, or at the very least, the solidifying of the TV renaissance as an art form, not just a hobby, where TV viewing, where binge watching became the thing to do. And of course, this is solidified by the development and implementation of the DVD player and the DVD market, where not only was the VHS world supplanted by something a little bit cheaper to buy, but also a lot easier to store and a lot easier to play back and a lot easier to share with friends and, dare I say it, copy or duplicate in other means. Legitimately, archival copies.
For personal use.
Yeah. But Larry, what I'm getting to is that the year 1999 until maybe, let's say, the year 2009 represents a decade of unparalleled output in modern television history. Larry, I want to talk about what I call the Renaissance of TV.
The amp king of frequency.
Okay, you're talking about a series at a time of shows where you had The Sopranos, you had The Wire, you had Carnival, God help us, you had Lost, even though that turned out to be a giant wet fart of a program. You had shows like Heroes. You had, oh my God,
Arrested Development. Wow.
Arrested Development.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. West Wing started 1999 as well. Freaks and Geeks started 1999. I know that's not necessarily your bag.
It's an Apatow production. I tried watching it. Didn't care for it.
1999 saw Buffy the Vampire Slayer move from glib twee into, you know, some really impacting new storytelling. What else did you have?
Yeah, Angel started that year too, right?
That's the same time Angel started. Galactica was 2004. The Shield was 2002. Family Guy, we're well and truly sick of, but started 1999 as well. That did funny things at its time. It was funny once upon a time.
Once upon a time until they brought it back, and then that became a problem. Once you know, go back to the world too many times. But
6 Feet Under, 2001. Always Sunny in Philadelphia, 2005.
There you go.
Firefly, 2002. Doctor Who. I don't know what year the reboot for that started.
2005. I remember because I was working. Here's the thing. I did not grow up with Doctor Who. We had PBS stations, and occasionally they would show something like they would show Fawlty Towers, and I'd watch that. Sometimes I'd be in the mood for it, but it was like British programming to me was like I had to be in the mood for it. Or I didn't want to watch it at all. It's like it was kind of like it was like eating vegetables. I got to like the vegetable first. But then I see the ads for, because I was watching BBC World Service, and they were in between that, they were showing the ads for the doctor. And you hear I'm like, whoa, what was that? And it's the Dalek, you know, from the Dalek episode. And I was like, whoa, what is this? And I'm like, I knew of Doctor Who. And when I think of Doctor Who, you know, you think of Tom, for me, it was like
Tom Baker. Tom Baker. Yeah, same here.
Yeah, because it's like, the prevalent thing, and it's so funny to see this, and I'm like, this looks it doesn't look like, you know, like cheap, you know, like a kid's show or whatever, like cheap PBS stuff. It looks like high quality. It looks, had great cinematography, had great way to promote a show, and I'm like, I'm in. And I was working night shift at the time, and I'd almost like neglect my job just to watch people. I had like the little TV with a little radio antenna. This is back before they went full digital, and I'm watching. It's like, if a truck would come by, because I was checking in trucks, the signal get all staticky, and I'm like, God damn it! And so I was like, all right, here's the information. Get out of here. Go. I'm gonna miss parts. Doctor Who was that much. A psycho, and it came to it, and I was like, wait, no, it's over? No, I need more. And like, no, we do shorter runs, and I'm like, oh, come give me that. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's 2005. I mean, another 1990s one, technically it was 97, Oz.
That's another, see, Oz, but it really hit its stride. Like, the first season of Oz, the first two or three seasons were, because it ran for a while, but it started to really come together, like in the middle part. And, you know, that right there, I think without Oz, you wouldn't have Sopranos.
Yeah.
So it's one of those shows. Like a lot of people, it's really uncomfortable because, hey, you have J. Jonah Jameson carving swastikas into asses of inmates. So, yeah.
Yeah. But it was kind of a loss of innocence and a celebration of this loss, because thanks to HBO and their laissez-faire attitude to television standards and advertisers' expectations, they were showing anything
Yep.
Pretty much at the time, anything.
But since they're a subscription service, they can get away with pretty much anything.
And yeah.
There was probably some advertisement like on the back end, like here's a Coca-Cola can in the foreground or something like that, but not in the commercial sense.
Yeah.
But in the same time span, you had people, and I guess like I mentioned Lost, I'll go ahead and get that out of the way. I was addicted to Lost. It was no joke. I was like, oh my God, I can't. Well, when I got to the last episode, I'm like, I've been fooled. It's like, oh, here's a fun house. You'll see some freaky stuff. And it just turned out to be somebody cut some garden hoses up and stuck them to the wall. Like, ooh, those snakes touching your feet. And I'm like, that's it? Really? That's all you got? You know, like, and that's basically what Lost was. It's like, it wasn't part of the end of the journey. It's about the journey itself. Don't give me that crap. It's like, here, what is this? What is this? Answering questions with more questions. It's like, it pissed me off.
I saw 15 minutes of the first episode, and when a plane crash lands and only the pretty people survive and they all still look pretty after a plane crashes, I'm like, yeah, I'm out. This is about as realistic as my anus, which everyone knows does not exist.
Are you one of the cone heads? You did. you come from France. But no, it's like at that time, I mean, you had like amazing comedies, Arrested Development. I mean, you had, you know, Always Sunny. As much as I love Arrested Development, Always Sunny is much better. It's better done.
I don't think we would have had Always Sunny without Arrested Development setting the scene, really breaking all the ground for anti-laugh track. It's not satire, but comedy that's a little bit more cerebral. I mean, on one level, both Always Sunny and Arrested Development are laugh out loud funny from what you immediately see. But there's layers there.
Exactly. Those layers are like that right there. The layers in general, because Always Sunny is hard. It's one of those things you can describe it. And if you've seen it, it can be funny. But if you have not seen it, or you'd probably find it either very confusing and or offensive.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I tried describing it to a colleague earlier today, and it basically sounded like I was describing the five worst human beings on the planet.
Oh, they are, but that's what's so funny about it.
That's why it shouldn't work, because if it was done any other way, there's no way you'd be interested at all in watching them. You know what I mean? You'd just be repulsed. They do this wonderful thing of making someone as utterly unlikable and socially and psychopathically and sociopathically dysfunctional as Dennis Reynolds a likable person.
Who may or may not be a serial killer, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of leave that a little vague. It's like they drop some hints here and there, but yeah, he's probably a serial killer. But
it's just normal to keep cable ties, rope, and gags in the boot of your car.
It's just, you have stalkers, psychopaths.
He likes to bind. He likes to be bound. That's his sex stuff. That's what he says. See, already, out of context, it sounds like the worst show ever.
If you wanted to cut this up, people, you could easily do so.
I said he. I said he.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I would pound him up and say, hey, man, whatever you do, that, whatever's your bag. But yeah, it shows like the exact opposite of that, which a lot of people, they poo-pooed because it wasn't the original. But I watched the original after. I was like, okay, I watched the first season, because it's only like six episodes, because it's like one of the what they call mid-season replacement. But after that, I watched the original series and I paid a pretty penny, because those BBC box sets are very expensive.
Yeah,
the show, you know what show I'm talking about, The Office. Mm-hmm. And what the UK Office, it's that dry British humor. It's very mean and hateful more often than not, and it did really nothing for me. While the US Office, when you get to see that season one where Steve Carell just got his hair plugs put in. And it's like where it's kind of not beat for beat, but a lot, it's very heavily inspired by the UK Office.
I never got the UK Office. It didn't do anything for me. But when I heard that you Yanks were doing your own run on it, I was repulsed. I was sickened. Because you guys do that all the time. And no offense, and I'm going to swear here, but you guys fuck it up every time.
Sanford and Son? I don't think so. You know, Sanford and Son.
Oh, that was your version of Steptoe and Son. That's right. Yeah, I still think it loses a little bit. And All in the
Family, too. I mean, when we do it right, we do it better than the original. I mean, that's my opinion.
Well, that was the case with The Office.
Yes.
My wife was halfway through season two, and she's like, you really should watch this. This is very funny. And I'm like, yeah, no.
Snob. I will not watch this American show.
I'm aware of the original source material, and I find it degrading to watch the adaptation by the colonials, you know, those revolutionary upstarts. But yikes. No, it was friggin' hilarious.
Another show you actually made me think of, and also I'm looking at it right here, but a show I just gush about I would put it in the same category as Battlestar Galactica and The Wire, and it's a show that I don't think would translate outside the US, but Friday Night Lights.
Right. That's actually got a big following here, funnily enough.
Whoa, what?
Because really? There's a huge Australian rules football contingent here, and they follow it with the same ardent fervor as your NFL mobs. It's somewhat well received over here.
See, that's what's so funny, because I remember watching the show. I watched the first episode when it premiered, and it was an NBC show. And I'm like, oh, football, I ain't nothing else on. It was a slow night at work, so I put it on, and I'm kind of not really paying attention to it, but I'm like, watch cinematography, very like handheld, and like visually it looked interesting. The musical choices, because they use like these, basically it's indie music, I guess it's like hipster music, but not really. It's like, you know, kind of folksy kind of stuff. And then, you know, but small town life, you got nothing else going on in life except for football. And it's like, whoa, this is really well done. I'm watching this and the characters are great. It's too bad that Taylor Kitsch guy, the guy can't, outside of Friday Night Lights, the guy's been a like box office bomb. He was in X-Men Origins Wolverine, he played Gambit.
Yeah, he did bad things to Gambit.
Yeah. And he also was in the John Carter of Mars movie.
I didn't mind that film. That's an okay film. McNulty's a Red Martian.
McNulty's Red Martian, and Silver Fox from X-Men Origins Wolverine is Deja Thoris.
That's right. That's right. And Green Goblin is his best
friend. Tarkus. But yeah, it could have been more over the top. I ain't saying go full Flash Gordon, but get close to it, because it just seemed so toned down and tame. Like they couldn't even go full like Red Skies of Mars, and like it was not dynamic. It was just like, yeah. And then it was like, oh, it's done by animator. Like that doesn't mean nothing. Animators, that doesn't mean jack. You got to have a vision. Animators are told, you draw this, you draw that. This is not a, you know, visionary director.
I still don't think it should have bombed like it did. But I think it was up against some bad things.
Well, also the fact that they started promoting John Carter of Mars, and they just said, let's just call it just John Carter. I'm like, that was John Carter mean?
Yeah.
You know, is it Get Carter? What is it? This a sequel to Get Carter?
Well, which version, the Michael Caine or the Sylvester Stallone remake?
At this point, like the probably only thing
Sylvester
people know
Stallone. It's a third Stallone. Remake.
It's like Michael Caine is coming back. But another show, it's kind of, you know, which I didn't watch when it first, the first season aired, because I got the box set, but Deadwood.
Ah.
And God, is that show good?
Yeah. We could. No, I don't need to censor anymore. I've already dropped a few.
I was about to do something to cause you hell.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to.
What a great show. Like Sopranos, it just has this legacy that I don't think there's a week goes by that there's not a stirring in Variety or E! Online or something about it getting remade or made into a film or something. In fact, didn't the one who...
They're actually working on a film right now.
Yeah.
Well, I think what happened is the set where they... Well, the area wherever they filmed the show, like they tore the sets down and stuff, is one of those, oh, it costs too much. It's the same thing, same kind of deal with Carnival. Another show, like Carnival owed its legacy to... like season like 20 five of Heroes? X-Files.
I said season 5 of Heroes.
Well,
no, vice versa. Sorry.
Actually, no. You know, it's funny because the you know the creepy rapist dude that was in Prison Break.
Yeah.
Nepper, whatever his name is, he was in the season 5 of Heroes. He was actually in season 2 of
Carnival.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like kind of wait a second. But it was one of those shows that was supposed to be six seasons. Had it like this overarching plot. Had it all taken.
And is Peter Stormare in Carnival?
Peter Stormare was not. Okay. But Simone from Pee Wee's Big Adventure, you know, the one, the waitress, Pee Wee. And she played Oswald Cobblepot's mother alongside with Pee Wee Herman, you know, in Batman Returns. So she's in that. A bunch of the actors, you got Clancy Brown killing it. And just everybody with like such high quality acting, writing, the look of it, that period look, the 1920s, 1930s look. Was so good. And I love the, you know, there's certain stuff that they wanted to explore more. Of course they didn't because they only had two seasons, but it's one of those shows like, damn it. I kind of wish like there's an alternate earth where I could look back and same thing with Deadwood. Like wish it kept going. Like if they just, I would kind of wish they killed Sopranos off so I could get this instead. Like this is an alternate timeline where Sopranos stopped, but this kept going.
Sopranos is interesting though, because it's one of the shows, which in my opinion has the perfect ending. And I know a lot of people disagree with that. But I was so content the first time I saw the last episode of The Sopranos. You disagree?
Here's the thing, because at that point, I wasn't watching it as it came out. So the ending, like everybody's like, oh my God, people freaking out because they thought their cable got cut off or whatever because the screen goes black. And then, like, when I watched it, finally processed all this, it allowed me to, like, I was like, it's the ending, it's like, well, did he get shot? This and that. It just
well, no, it doesn't matter either way whether he did. It's all about that, and he uses the word a lot in Italian in this film: the agita, the anger, the anxiety, and that last scene builds it so well. You see him with his family. He's mucking around, and you see the three suspected, hitmen surround him. Casually not being noticed, but does he notice them? Maybe he does. And, you go back a couple of episodes and one of them's talking in a car. Silvio might be about when you get shot, you lose your vision first, you see black, and then your hearing goes. Isn't it? Is there something along those lines?
Yeah, it's something along those lines. So basically, they replicate that. So I was like, well, Tony, and also Tony could have just died of a heart attack then and there or something, like a massive.
Or he could have had a narcoleptic episode like he had all throughout the first two seasons.
Exactly. You know, anything's possible, but it's one of those things. It's just. I'm indifferent. I mean, depends on, like, right now I'm just indifferent. I mean, depending on what day, I might be like, oh, screw the ending. That sucked. I could get angry about it. But a show I loved, but then got angry with, which it also kind of turned me off of this kind of storytelling. But I was angry with it, but I kept watching because I was that much of a sucker for that kind of stuff. But Veronica Mars, which was a show that the first season is like, okay, this, so she's a young private eye, still high school, this stuff. There's murder mystery the first season. Helping solve like other students' like problems and also helping her father out with private investigations. And, oh, this is a setup. And then her mother left. And, after her father supposedly bungled an investigation of this, young murdered woman, she gets raped at a party. And she doesn't know who did it, and trying to find out throughout the season who did it and like bring them to justice and all this and that. And they kind of tie it up with a bow at the end and kind of resolve the situation. And then the second season, they just untie the bow and it's like just shred it.
Yeah.
And then they bring in Steve Guttenberg as the bad guy and Jessica Jones as Gutenberg's daughter.
Right.
So Lobo Morongo, whatever his name is.
Oh, of course, we're referencing seminal 80s romantic action drama by the name of Don't Tell Her It's Me, starring Steve Guttenberg and Shelley Long. I highly recommend you do it. You get that film and you watch the bejesus out of it. It's the best acting I've ever seen. In particular, Gutenberg's New Zealand accent is something really to write home about. I think New Zealand's adopted him since as a son of the nation. Yeah,
as a duly representative.
His money is no good there. I hear.
All his drinks are covered. Same thing with his sheep.
Yeah, every year they sacrifice a virgin sheep to Steve Guttenberg, and a virgin sheep means a lot in New Zealand. Let me tell you that.
Oh my God!
Very rare. Very rare.
Well, you look at like whoever who's listening to this in New Zealand, you go from like two or three to zip.
I don't think we have any New Zealander listeners. But
the Kiwis won't know.
But if we do, hey guys, I'm sorry. You guys are great. You guys are choice, bro.
But no, like these programming, the programming in general, we're dealing with a, like you said, the Renaissance. Not only was the cinematography looking great, the stories, but the one thing, especially with the cable model, where we used to have 26 episodes, 22 to 26 episodes a season.
Yeah.
They brought it down to 12 and they tightened things up properly.
But that was good. And that was the secret to it, I reckon.
Exactly. But now we've got to the point where it's down to 13 episodes, and where, you know, like 10 years ago wasn't a problem. But now, like, you look at these like Netflix Marvel shows where they really only have like 7 or 8 episodes worth of good content, and they feel like they stretch it out to 13 just to fill the order.
Fill some contractual obligation or something.
Exactly. And so, like, when you had shows where, along the lines of, like, say, The Wire, which I'm like, oh, I want more. I don't want this to end. Like, it leaves you wanting more. And then I felt satisfied by the end of The Wire, but I know a lot of people didn't.
Yeah, I did. I did. Seeing Jimmy McNulty laid out there on that pool table, I was like, oh, my God, did that happen? No, it was good, and he got the closure he needed. Look, looking at these, I've got two main timelines, or two main, I guess, periods, I think. I think we've got a formative phase, sort of your fistful of dollars, if you will, kind of era, and that's definitely the 1999 through to 2005. And everything after that seems to fall into the sort of the end of the good times, the once upon a time in the West, if you will. If you look at it, that's where the films take the proven model, the TV shows take the proven model, and really, you know, run it home. I'm just looking for evidence of those shows that do that. Breaking Bad. Mad Men to an extent.
I was dedicated Mad Men viewer for the first Mad Men viewer for like first two or three seasons, and I kind of gave up because it lost its way. It had the same similar problems with Sopranos does, which I love Sopranos, but Sopranos, because it did it first, it isn't as bad. Where you could watch any episode of Mad Men, doesn't matter, season 1 through 3, like I think after 3, that's when I kind of gave up. But you could watch and you couldn't tell what's going on. The Wire, you could tell what was going on, whatever season you're watching, because the characters they focused on, like, you could, you know, the episode stood out, the character stood out more. Everybody was in a suit and everybody was drinking, you know, before noon and all that. And just in Mad Men. And as much as I enjoyed it at the time, I lost all interest in it. I just have no drive to go back. Oh, I gotta watch that again. Ain't like X-Files. I'm doing an X-Files run through. I'm watching all like the pretty much all the mythology episodes. And that's one of those shows that, you know, it's petered out. Like once they stopped filming in Canada, it started kind of petering out, but it just got worse and worse.
Yeah, well, Canada will do that to you. Until that.
Well, Canada is like,
no. And then they had to work around with the budget for the Berlanti universe. That one alleyway with the dumpster, you know, they've got Arrow shooting there on Tuesday, Flash there on Thursday.
X-Files filmed in that, Battlestar Galactica filmed in that, Flash, Arrow. I mean, everything that's ever been in, Deadpool 1 and 2, both in that same alley. It's like the alley in Vancouver. It's like, we only have, it's like if somebody filmed in your back, you're like, okay, please, can you guys like film it from a different angle or something? Like, come on.
Can we change the bins at least? It's always full.
Exactly. It's like, oh my God, stop it. It's like, please, please just go to a different alley.
There's a documentary, Larry. I'd watch that. The Alley. That'd be. Hey, look, if any of you out there are documentarians, young filmmakers, talk to us. That's our idea, copyright 2018, The Ant King Frequency. We'd love to help you. We'll spin some ideas. We'll do some promo art. We'll voice and air content. Maybe we can do a voiceover in an alley full of stains and smells.
A place that's been an alien planet called Caprica that has been in the hero TV shows and movies. The Alley in Vancouver where everything is shot. Just something stupid like that. I don't know. But yeah, this programming, I mean, you had a show going on at this time that most people don't talk about, maybe for good reason, but I will mention it. Smallville.
Right. Okay.
Another Canadian production.
That started late 90s, though. Mid 90s.
Actually, no. Smallville started the like week before. Let me look it up real quick. If I'm not mistaken, it may have aired on September 11th, I think. Let me see.
No way.
It might have been because I remember watching it. Let's see. Oh, sorry. So it was after September 11th. No, sorry, I was wrong. October 16th, 2001.
Wow.
So yeah, it's like right after. Yeah. So
programming time.
I remember the reason I say September because I'm like here we had nothing but like every channel like till like about 8 o'clock at night would just have like. Updates, this and that, like, we're gonna get the terrorists. And I just needed something to watch that wasn't terrorist or this, that. So I watched another show that terrorizes.
Is there a chance that this would have been released a month earlier, but was delayed because of the events?
It could have been because a lot of shows air here in September. They used to. So it might have been delayed. It's like, let's push it back a little bit. Because if you remember, the pilot episode of Smallville has something crashing into the water tower and a lot of stuff crashing into buildings. Remember the bits of kryptonite?
Right.
That ain't a plane, but that, there is a shuttle. There is a rocket. From the planet Krypton that's sent. So the imagery of something crashing into another thing might have, even still, it's like, I didn't piece it together then. I'm just thinking about it now. Like that could have been an issue. Somebody's like, yeah, let's take no chance. Yeah, but well, it's one of those shows. It's like, it kind of filled that, when X-Files started petering out, Smallville came in and kind of picked up the slack, Monster of the Week and all that kind of stuff.
Look, I have a theory as to why we've kind of lost this golden era of TV. I think it's got to do with finiteness. I think a lot of these shows were accepted by studios who mm-hmm. were willing to try new things because the market was booming and who were willing to wrap up shows that they started. Stories were written, storylines were written with endings in mind. And what got me started thinking about this tangent today was one thing, which starts one show that started in 2007. I'm going to say it started whilst, the formula was locked in and it may have been the death of this golden era of shows. I'm, of course, talking about something which recently announced its impending end, and not because of the network wanting to shut it down, but because of allegedly just one of the actors, the lead actor, the highest paid actor, just getting a bit bored of it. I'm, of course, referring to the Nerd Minstrel Show, The Big Bang Theory.
Well, I've called it worse, but yeah, you fancied up with my... de-offensified my words.
It's possibly one of the worst shows on TV. It embodies what I think is this this proliferation nowadays of written content, the Chuck Lorre universe of just done in one status quo television that repeats with no subtlety, no depth, and with no consequences, so that the network can keep churning it out until it ceases to be profitable. If it wasn't for the lead character, Jim Parsons' character, Sheldon, getting tired of the role, they just keep on doing it. And this, for me, is the complete antithesis to this golden era of TV, where stories were crafted, Larry, where characters and depth were sought after, where the writer and the producer, like your Ronald D. Moores, had as much screen presence as your star talent. In fact, more often than not, they starred relatively unknown people. Or at least they were unknown when the show started. You know, James Gandolfini is now one of the most recognized television actors posthumously because of what he did with Tony Soprano, the character in the show. You had this space where people could act their hearts out. Writers could write their hearts out. Everything was 100% put into the show. And then, you know, you get the Chuck Lorre type crew that just come in and draft out these pithy, pithy scripts. I mean, look up, if you want, on YouTube, any of the quotes about nerd humor and Big Bang Theory. And they'll show you just scene upon scene upon scene of people just saying nerd things to other people. And the canned audience losing it. That canned laughter.
That show, Big Bang Theory, which, that show has done more harm for any kind of nerd culture, the nerds in general, than any bullies in school ever. Like, all the combined bullies in school never did as much harm as Big Bang Theory. It has saturated the, oh, look, I'm wearing a comic book shirt. I must be dorky. But we're smart, too, because we can't just be, you know, weirdos and just get online and call hot women fat and ugly because we're miserable on the inside.
A funny thing is, if you do watch the show, especially without laughter, you'll notice they pause for laughter after every sentence. That's how methodical it is.
It's that formula, and that right there is why I hate sitcoms now. I used to watch Wings, I used to watch Frasier and Cheers and all that stuff. Like, well, Cheers and reruns mainly, but yeah, like Taxi. But you just didn't notice because it was actually funny stuff. The characters you liked, and they were well done. I'm glad it's ending. It should have ended sooner.
Yeah. One statistician said there's a pause for laughter 15 times per 2 minutes.
Oh my God.
Even the actors themselves laugh over the laughter as if trying to tell you this is supposed to be funny. Times, of course, 22 minutes, times 22 episodes a season, times, what are they up to, 13 seasons now? And almost always the joke is either that Aquaman is a bad superhero or Sheldon has to sit in his favorite chair.
Can we put Punji Sticks in that favorite chair on the last episode? It's like, you know, like maybe a comic character comes to life and rips the arms and legs off of him like a bug.
I like, there's this one joke. I don't know if we can pick it up on the mix. I'll see if I can play it here.
Thank God I won't be able to hear it because that right there is nightmarish.
No. I can't play it. But a chap named Lyle Rath released it on Twitter, saying this perfectly encapsulates why I hate the Big Bang Theory, and it's essentially just nerd reference after nerd reference after nerd reference. It's cringeworthy, and you'd hope it was an isolated incident, but it actually is the majority of the show. Wait, let me see if I can pull this up here. No, I just I can't. My old Windows Vista browser just hates what DHTML does nowadays.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is talking to us from the year 2002. God, but I did see something funny. If somebody took that thing from Cabin in the Woods, the evil is destroyed, you know, that we're where the little Japanese girls destroy the evil, and like the evil is destroyed. Big Bang Theory ends after. Oh God, I hope he enjoys obscurity. I hope he just fades away. He's gonna be like,
well, he'll be that guy. He can't get work, surely,
you know. Hey, it took Doogie Howser had to, you know, he got like one role in that many years, you know, after Doogie Howser. It's like, oh, he got Starship Troopers playing a Nazi.
That was a good role. I like that.
I loved that movie. I loved it. I'm saying, like, other than that, that's like, oh, he's, Barney, whatever his name is. The only reason I know, because it's, you know, because I think you mentioned it more than once, which kind of scares me a little bit. But you know these things, and I don't like that you know them. The secret, horrible knowledge should not be shared with the world. But yes, I to wrap up, I really think that this time, this kind of almost golden age of television programming, where it surpassed cinematic storytelling and the visual, you know, spectacle that was films. I don't think that this will come back around again, because even though things going digital, we have shows like Man in the High Castle, you know, the Netflix shows and all these other, like, you know, we're going to get the Captain Picard show or whatever. And we had this, you know, with Discovery, and like we got the Swamp Thing show and all this and that, whatever. Even with all this, it's paid. Everything's like, so instead of watching commercials, you still have to, well, sometimes you actually do have to watch commercials, and you have to pay for it outright through the nose.
Well,
I
think it's going to be a lot like the music industry. The much lamented period of, hey, let's try this and see if it sells, is gone. Like the film industry, like the music industry, it's just been replaced with statisticians who will fight only for what's been proven in the past, who will barter culture and innovation in exchange for precedent every time until the cows come home. In fact, that's all they know. So I think that's really hurt serialized entertainment. I thought there might be a second coming with the rise and rise of Netflix and its similar streaming counterparts, but it seems to have fallen by the wayside once more.
It has, and I think it's going to get worse. Netflix is now, you can no longer really binge shows, or putting this thing out where you start binging a show. Hey, would you like to watch this instead? It's like, no, I'm watching this show. Yeah. Stop.
It already does that 3 episodes in. It says, are you still watching? I'm like, yeah, back off. But look, for now, take advantage of the greatest decade of televised content that we have had. We have this streaming content delivery system now to utilize. We have our DVDs. Make the most of it, because neither Larry nor I think we're going to have such large quantity of quality again. We'll leave you now till we see you next week. And before the credits roll, I thought I would play this Big Bang Theory excerpt just one time at least. I'll see if I can turn it up so Larry can get it there too. Here we go.
So it's settled. The fate of Doctor Who's TARDIS will be decided by a Game of Thrones-inspired deathmatch on the battlefield of Thundercats versus Transformers.
Larry's just picked up a knife from, I think, his garter belt and simulated dragging it across his neck.
or just do this instead, like, and poke my ears out.
Yeah,
so. Carter Felt, no, you do not get to do that. But until next time, folks, this is Larry King signing off. You can find me on Twitter @LarryKingUndead.
at Antonio Sancholo for myself, and podcast at whitetigergraphics.com for email. Don't forget our Facebook page. We will talk to you next week. Goodbye now.
Gaming Frequency. Copyright 2018 by White Tiger Graphics.